Hey, good morning. So glad that you are here. Want to say a special welcome to you. My name is Chris. I get the privilege to be lead pastor here at Second Baptist, and so it's an honor to serve you and to have the opportunity to worship together this morning. I want to mention a few announcements this morning, but before I do, if you're a guest, first-time guest, or maybe first-time in a long time, we'd love to connect with you, and we can do that in one of two ways. There should be a card in the pew back in front of you. If you would fill that out, and then at the end of service, as we leave, we'll take up our tithes and offerings, and there'd be an opportunity for you to leave that in one of those offering plates, or you can take it to one of our desks out front, and we'll have a T-shirt, just a special way to say, hey, thanks for being with us. We're so grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. And so if you are online, or even if you prefer this in person, you can go to our website, sbcr.org. And the second way we can connect with you, go to that website and click the button that says I'm new and fill that short form out. And then we get an email just letting us know who's with us. And that helps us know how we might be able to serve you and know who's worshiping with us today. And so we're grateful for that opportunity. And so let me mention a few things to you. First of all, be back with us tonight, 5 o'clock, as we go out in our community and just pray over homes and just out and about and leaving, just letting folks know, hey, we're out in the community, we're praying over homes and praying for individuals. And so that goes from 5 to 6. So we'd love to have you go with us tonight. And then also want to remind you about all of our Wednesday night activities. We have a lot of different things going on Wednesday nights. We have a free meal at 5:30, and then 6 o'clock we have ministries of all ages. Children's ministry is going, youth ministry is going. I've started back our adult prayer meeting, so we'd love to have you for that. And then we have another meal at 7:15 for our college students. And then from 8 to 9 o'clock, we have a collegiate worship service. And so for any of you college students, we'd love to have you this Wednesday night. That happens every Wednesday. And so looking forward to that. One other announcement I want to make you aware of is the Young at Heart are taking a fun trip this coming week on Thursday. They're going to see a movie in Conway, and so I believe they plan to leave around 2:30 from the church here. For any senior adults, that Young at Heart group, I've been told that your ticket is free, and so if you want to go and be a part of, they're planning to take the bus from here to Conway, watch the movie. I believe it starts at 4, and then come back. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer, and Ms. Sharon Overton will be there after service if you'd like to sign up, so they can begin to get a head count. Sure would appreciate that. Pastor Jonathan will also be at that table at the end of service. Acts One Day, October 1st, is coming up. One Day mission trip, so if you'd like to be a part of that. There are all sorts of ministries that will be happening that day, and so you can probably find something that you're really passionate about or like to be a part of and go and be a part of that One Day missions opportunity. And then finally, I want to mention to you this morning, this week begins our focus on Dixie Jackson offering. And so for the next several weeks, you'll see videos as we begin our service just talking about how your giving impacts our state and beyond through giving to the Dixie Jackson offering. And so a couple things I want to make you aware of. As a church, we've set the goal to give $4,500 this year toward the Dixie Jackson offering. And so what I want to encourage you to do, there should be envelopes maybe in the pew back in front of you or the table at the back, and you can take one of those envelopes. And I just want to encourage you to do this. Just take it and begin praying, God, what is it you would have me to give? And then however the Lord leads you in that, whatever He leads you to give, you'll be faithful in that. And then I trust and believe that out of all of our obedience, we'll give exactly what the Lord has us to give. And so also there are these cards that are out there in the table at the back or the desk out front, and some at the ministry opportunities desk. They're just different places around. This is just a simple prayer guide. Now, the official week of prayer begins today. So if you want to grab that and begin praying this week, but even if you don't get to it today, that's okay. They'll take your prayers no matter what day it is. And so we also, along with these, we post these videos every day on our Facebook page. So if you don't follow us on social media, here's a shameless plug, okay? Go follow us on social media. You'll see these videos. They're good, great encouragements of of how to be praying for them, put faces and names with the way that you're praying. And so really looking forward to this opportunity. So take an envelope, pray about what God have you to give. Whether you're able to give or not able to give, would you please take a card and be praying for these church planters and different ministries that are happening around our state. And it will be an exciting time and what the Lord does with that. All right? Okay. Now, just a couple other words and then we're going to begin to sing to the Lord. Really have been sensing as a pastor, as just leading and how God's called me here is a sense of, man, we just need a fresh touch from God. Our church needs a breakthrough, if you will. And so here in a moment, we're going to begin to pray. We're going to pray specifically that God would give us a breakthrough, that God maybe give us a fresh touch this morning, that God would do something incredible here this morning. We are going to take of the Lord's Supper this morning. I'm going to preach focused on the Lord's Supper. We're going to have a time to respond, and then we're going to take that. But I just wonder this morning, I'm going to ask if you would, if you bow your head and close your eyes, and you may feel so inclined that you want to come and kneel at the front with others here, and just really asking God to do something unique this morning, asking the Spirit of God to work in and through our church, that God would send a breakthrough to our congregation, to those that are with us, and just take a moment, if you pray specifically for that, that God would ready your heart, that God would meet with us in a special way today. God in heaven, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I pray this morning that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. And God, I pray this morning that we just wouldn't go through the motions. We just wouldn't just fumble our way through, but God, we'd really look, God, at lyrics as we sing to you. God, that we would lift our voice to you and to you alone, that you would be worshiped, that you would be honored and glorified. God, I pray that we wouldn't just go through the acts of hearing someone speak and opening a cup and taking bread, but God, there would be real sincerity to it and genuineness to it. God, we just ask that you would work this morning. God, I believe with all my heart, God, we need a breakthrough. We need a fresh touch from you. And so, God, I pray that maybe this morning would be the beginning of that, would be something that, God, as we leave here today, we would know that you've done a great work. And Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and sing with us.
Presence, all our fears. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, as we were singing this morning, I could not help but think about the cross and that God sent His Son Jesus, who lived a sinless, perfect life, was arrested as a guilty man, though He was innocent, and was scourged, was beaten, and then was crucified. And the Romans were particularly good at punishment. And historians and experts tell us that crucifixion, the scourging, all of those things were of the utmost worst punishment they could come up with, and the crown of thorns that was on His head. And the Bible describes Him as a man without visage, a man that was marred. You could not tell whether He's a man or a woman as He hung naked on a cross as an innocent man for your sin and my sin. And as we were singing, I was just thinking about how the blood of Jesus ran down the cross so that you and I could have forgiveness. The Bible says this, by His stripes we are healed. By the very pouring out of His blood, of His sacrifice, His blood spilt upon the cross, by that very act, you and I have forgiveness. You and I have healing. You and I can experience a right relationship with a holy God. And this morning, we're going to take of the Lord's Supper, and as we talk about the bread and the cup, and we talk about the body and the blood of Jesus, that it is of incredible eternal significance. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll begin in verse 23 in just a few moments. And for some of you who mark or maybe make notes in your Bible, you may notice this is a text I've preached before and have reworked the message just a little bit, but it is very similar because we take of the Lord's Supper about once a quarter and just felt led of the Lord to come back here. And I've not preached specifically on the Lord's Supper and readying our heart and those sorts of things in preparation for the Lord's Supper in a few years. And so really felt led to come back here and dig into this text and look at this text again together. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, and I know you just sat down, but I will ask if you will, if you're willing and able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And God's holy, infallible, inerrant Word says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." Let me pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. And God, I praise You and thank You for today. God, I pray this morning that all that we say and do would exalt the name of Jesus. God, help us to ready our heart, God, that we may, God, be ready and in a right place to be able to take of the Lord's Supper this morning. Thank You for the sacrifice. God, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So I want to preach to you a message I've simply titled, The Table. The Table, and the idea of taking the Lord's Supper, coming to the table as a church family, as a body of believers, as a group of believers coming together and observing, taking of the Lord's Supper. And so as we do that, we want to walk through this text, and you maybe have picked up as I read through the text, 1 Corinthians, the church at Corinth, well, they struggled at times. They had some issues going on. They had some drama in their church, and they were doing some really ungodly things. There was sexual promiscuity. There was all sorts of things that were happening within the church that was not right. And so Paul is writing a strong word saying, hey, you need to get some things together. You need to get some things right. One of those things that they were doing and they were not doing the right way is taking of the Lord's Supper. They were coming and they were treating it as if it was an everyday feast, and they were not adhering to some godly practices with that, and they were coming together getting drunk, and I mean, all these sorts of things, and there's just some ungodliness surrounding this. And so in this section, Paul is trying to address some of that. And so as we walk through the text this morning, there's four ways I want us to see in which he says to look or pay attention to as we walk through the text this morning. But the main idea of the text is this, is that God desires that we observe the Lord's Supper to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. See, we need to talk about this morning as you take of the Lord's Supper this morning, and we've got the fancy all together, all in one to go sort of package, okay? It's all in the same thing. And so if you peel off the top layer, there's the bread, and don't do it yet, okay? We'll get there. But then the cup underneath is just good old fashioned juice, okay? But there are some different teachings out there that suggest that it's something more than what it is. But as we take up the Lord's Supper today, it is a solemn act. It is an act of worship. There's nothing that's going to happen to that bread or to that cup that somehow makes us holier, that somehow is it transitions into something else. No, it's just a symbolism. It's a symbolic act of what Jesus has done for us so that we can worship him. And we can say, hey, we really believe in the God that we serve. And so the question then this morning is, are you ready to receive the Lord's Supper? Are you ready? Paul writes a strong word saying that they're coming together. There's some things going on that they need to get right. Matter of fact, the last thing he says, if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. He says, the rest I'll set in order. So he's addressing some things and saying, we got to get some things right. And so listen, we've got to be willing and ready to understand, church, that we've got to be careful and wait on the Lord and make sure that we are in a right relationship with God, and we're ready to receive the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to walk through, what does that mean? What does that look like? And so, number one, there is a backward look. We need to take a look backward. And so look at the text this morning. I'll read verse 23, but then we're going to settle in verse 24 and 25. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So he is referencing the Lord's Supper. He's saying, I've got some things out of this, and now I'm about to teach you about the Lord's Supper. So verse 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he's talking about Jesus, so he's recalling what took place. Jesus broke it, he broke it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Mark or underline, in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Underline, in remembrance of me. So what is happening here? Paul is recounting what happened when Jesus took of what we reference as the Lord's Supper, the final supper before he's betrayed and crucified. So Paul is pulling these elements out, saying, this is what Jesus said, but I want you to hear the language there, in remembrance of me. And so what helps us get ready, what helps us get our heart right and our mind right and get us in a right place that we can be ready to take up the Lord's Supper, it is good for us to look back and remember what God has done for us. Amen. I'll amen myself. If you ain't gonna, that's fine, all right? I'm gonna bring me one of those, you know, the staple button you just push, it's easy or whatever, like get me an amen button. And anyway, all right. I feel better, thank you. But he's doing remembrance of me, looking back and remembering what God has done. So where does that begin? That begins with remembering the cross. Remembering what Jesus has done for us. Romans 5:8, in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He died for us. You know what that means? That means on your absolute worst day, you think and just in your mind, you reflect back to the worst moment of your life. Not necessarily the most embarrassing, but the worst thing you've ever done, that you would be so grieved, you would want to crawl under a rock if anybody knew you ever thought that or considered it or let alone did it. And this is what the text is saying there. The most sinful thing you've ever done. Jesus is hanging on the cross as an innocent man, as the full God, as fully God yet fully man, hanging on the cross, and he sees you on your worst day and says, I love you anyway. When they're nailing him to the cross, and he proclaims over those that are carrying out this act, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I mean, Jesus in his sovereignty is crying out, in your worst day, God, Father, forgive them. Listen, it's important for us. You may say, man, preacher, you seem to talk about Jesus and the cross a lot. And yes, I'm going to continue because it is our salvation. It is the only hope that we have. And as we take of the Lord's Supper and we talk about the body which is broken for you, and it's symbolic because Psalm 22 would prophesy that they'd be able to count every one of his bones. It was symbolic for they would come by as the criminal was hanging on the cross, and they would often break the legs if they hung on too long. If they were staying alive too long, it would break their legs so that they could not push themselves up to get air anymore. And so then it would often suffocate them and be a terrible, horrible death. Not to mention if anything was broke, because it's not like they were really careful when they were scourging the criminals. But Psalm 22 would prophesy that none of his bones would be broken. And so when Jesus is there, you remember the soldiers go by to break his legs, but he has already died. And they plunge the spear into him, and it says water gushed out and blood gushed out. And so the medical experts of the day and historians look back and literally say that his heart burst. He was so in love and so passionate about your salvation that the very Son of God, his heart burst for the sake of your salvation. Listen, I hope that you're remembering this morning that the body of Jesus, he came fully man as a sacrifice for me and for you. But then I want you to think about how the crown was forced down on his head, a crown of thorns. Forced down on his head. And the scourging that he took, that those metal and bone and anything else, the glass that they could put on the end of those little lead whips would wrap into their body, and as they jerked it off, they would jerk hunks of flesh off of him. He was so beaten, he was so marred, you could not tell that he was a man or a woman. Isaiah 53 would prophesy that. And that there, the sinless Savior of the world, undoubtedly mangled and bloody. And so as we take of the bread and the cup this morning, symbolically remembering the body and blood of Jesus that is shed on the cross for you, there's this call to remember that we never forget that we didn't get here by our own good efforts, but by what Jesus has done for us. And it may be that you came stumbling in this morning, you came struggling getting here this morning, it may be that you're not sure about your salvation. Can I tell you, dear friend, you're not going to get where you want to go or where you need to be in a right relationship with God without surrendering your heart and life to Jesus that died on the cross for you. That's the only way to peace. That's the only way to reconciliation. That's the only way to salvation is through Jesus. Exodus 13:3 says, "And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten." It's the establishment of that Passover supper. And what's happening there, the Passover supper was replaced by the Lord's Supper, because the Passover supper was a symbolic representation of what happens to us in terms of salvation. That God delivered the children of Israel out of that land of bondage, that land of slavery, and had a better land, had a better promise for them, one that He was going to make sure of by His own covenant. And so here Moses is telling them, saying, listen, we're going to celebrate the Passover supper because we need to remember what God is doing. And dear friends, that's what we're doing this morning. As we take of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember that God has delivered us. Man, He set me free from some things. He's delivered me from some things. He is giving me peace, He's giving me grace, and He's done the same in your life. If you surrendered your heart and life to Him, He has done some incredible things in your life. And there's a book, part of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, but the book of Deuteronomy leans the second giving of the law, and 23 times in that book it is said, remember. Friend, it's far too often that we allow the enemy to remember, to remind us of all the things we've done wrong, remind us of all our failures, remind us of all sorts of things, but we just need to pause a moment and have a backward look and remember all the good that God has done in our lives. And so Paul sets this up, and he reminds them of the two phrases about the bread and the cup. And at the end of both of those, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Let us remember what Jesus has done. Number two. So number one, there's a backward look. Number two, there's an outward look. Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Let me hit pause with just a moment, because I know sometimes there's some debate and confusion about this. In verse 24 and 25, it says, this is my body which is broken, take, eat this body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then verse 25, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Here's what I need to help you make sure that we understand this morning. As a church family, we observe the Lord's Supper about once a quarter, every now and then a little bit more than that. There is nowhere in the Bible that lays out a prescriptive measure in which you have to take the Lord's Supper every week, twice a week, once a month. Man, there are New Testament, gospel-preaching, Bible-believing churches that take it every week, that maybe take it more than every week, that take it maybe less often than what we do. And the text dealing with this, he says, as often as you drink it, okay? It doesn't give a prescription every time you get together, that sort of thing. And so I just want to help us understand this morning that and there's no definitive biblical case in which you can make it needs to be taken this often, okay? You can't make a biblical case for it definitively. And so here he's just laying this out. As you do it, when you do it, what's he saying? He said, as you drink it, as often as you drink it, remember me. So meaning when you do, this is the way you need to do it. Okay, does that make sense? So verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. And so here's the proclamation. There needs to be an outward look. As we take of the Lord's Supper together this morning, we are looking back, remembering what Jesus has done, but we're also saying together, saying to one another, that we believe this is a reality, and we are telling anybody in and around us, anybody that may be aware, that we believe this, and we are proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as we take of the Lord's Supper. So not only is there a backward look, I'm remembering what God has done, but there's an outward look that as we're doing it this morning, as we're taking of this, there may be some of you that have not yet surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, then you're not ready to take of the Lord's Supper. But this is what I want you to see. As you realize others around you take of that, they are proclaiming, yes, we remember what God has done, but we're also proclaiming that Jesus is alive. And so proclaim in this context is focused a lot on our actions. By the act of us doing this, we are telling others that Jesus is alive. We believe this. This is a historically accurate event, and it is one that means salvation, that can provide salvation to all mankind, all who will repent and believe. Acts 1:8 tells us this, says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, to the ends of the earth." And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim this. It is largely focused on our actions, because here's the deal. You are a witness in both categories. You are a witness by your actions. People watch what you do. If you're a professing Christian, they watch, how is it you live? How is it you carry yourself? How is it you deal with life's troubles and all those sorts of things? And what kind of peace and joy by your actions and what you do? But not only that, we have to open up our mouth. You know my passion about us sharing the gospel and people, you know, the silly quote that went around for several years about we need to always share the gospel, sometimes use words. And I understand the sentiment that we need to live out what we're saying. But dear friend, we need to flat-footed open up our mouth and tell people, hey, I'm a Christian, this is what I believe, and Jesus has saved me, and He can save you too. We have a responsibility to tell a lost and dying world, listen, it doesn't matter what stage you're at, man, until God calls you home, you've not been put up on the shelf. Until God takes your last breath, God's not done with you. He's left you here with a purpose and on purpose. And one of those purposes, maybe the primary purpose, is that we proclaim the Lord's death. We tell a lost and dying world that Jesus has come, Jesus died, Jesus got up out of the grave, and He is the way of salvation. And so no matter what stage of life you're at, no matter where you're at, whether it's the senior adult center, whether it's your everyday workplace, or some of your athletes this morning, the team, God has placed you there that you may tell other men, women, boys, and girls that there is a God, there is Jesus who is seated at the right hand of God, that He came, heaven was bankrupted, earth was enriched, that there was a sinless, perfect Savior who came to die on the cross for me and for you, and you can have salvation if you'll repent and believe on Him. Folks, we've got to proclaim the Lord's death. And the moment you got saved was the moment you were enlisted. I explained it to somebody recently this way, is that sometimes people who are not Christians will think, man, God is real and I don't really know what to do with this, I'm not a Christian, so I'm not really on God's team. But then there's this idea, well, I'm not really living for darkness, I'm not living for the enemy and all that kind of thing, so I'm not on His team, I'm just somewhere in the middle. But Jesus said this, said that you're either with me or you're against me. And the reality of this, in terms of heaven and hell, in terms of spirituality, in terms of our souls, there are only two teams, God's team and the enemy's team. And somebody who recently had prayed to receive Christ said, listen, what happened is that you took off the enemy's jersey and Jesus put His jersey on you. And you immediately became a part of His team. And a part of the mission of that team is to tell others that they may join the team. And that's the work of God and salvation. Understand that. But that's the picture. That's the idea that's there. So we need to proclaim the Lord's death and this idea of keep doing it. And so there's a backward look, there's an outward look, and number three, there's an upward look. Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, look at this, till He comes. Till He comes. When I read these words, I'm reminded of, I'm not going to replay it, but the comical scene of Acts chapter 1, where the disciples are there and Jesus ascends into heaven, and there they are. They're just standing there gazing into heaven. You know, I've got some funny thoughts about that, but they're just standing there looking, and that's where some of the angels, they sneak up behind them, and in the same manner in which He left, He will come. The beauty the absolute beauty of Jesus coming and living a sinless, perfect life and dying on the cross. That gives us forgiveness. But that forgiveness wouldn't really mean much if Jesus hadn't got up out of the grave. Because that gives us hope. But then as He left the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in me and you as believers, Jesus said this. Jesus said the Spirit of God is this, is an earnest. Now, for those of you that are younger in the crowd, there used to be a day and time you had to put a down payment for stuff. You had to leave money. I'm going to buy this, so I've got to put money down so I can go get the rest and come back and pay for it. That was an earnest. It was a down payment. That was the idea. And so Jesus said, I'm leaving the Spirit of God as an earnest. That's the language. He's saying, I'm leaving the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, as a down payment because I'm coming back. I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you to myself. That's the beauty of the Thessalonians passage of the trumpet will sound, the shout of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain together will meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be. And so he says, listen, proclaim the Lord's death. How long? Till he comes. Fix your eyes on heaven, that Jesus is coming again. And we've got to tell people, there's men, women, boys, and girls that don't yet know him. There's people who have not yet heard the name of Jesus. And folks, if they don't hear from us, they'll never hear. So you and I have a responsibility. Proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Fix your eyes to heaven because He's coming again. I get excited thinking about that, I guarantee you. John 14:3 says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has gone to finish His work in heaven for us. Therefore, we must be faithful to the work that He has left us to do. So, there's a backward look, there's an outward look, there's an upward look. And then number four, this is where it gets tough, there's an inward look. There's an inward look. Look at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord, look at this, in an unworthy manner. Circle, underline that language. Unworthy manner. Eats and he says, in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So hit pause. So what does that mean? That means that it is possible to eat in an unworthy manner. And now I'm about to prove to you that he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to those that have repented and placed their faith and trust Jesus. Let's keep looking here. Verse 28. So here's the contrast. Don't do it in an unworthy manner. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself. Underline that. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So after there's this examination, then you eat. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, there's the language again, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What's he saying? You're not honoring it. You're not respecting it. So if you do it in an unworthy manner, it is not God honoring. But notice what he says, verse 30, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and listen, and many sleep. Now let me help you for just a minute. In the Bible, When you see in the Bible talking about people, believers specifically, falling asleep, that is the Bible's way of saying they died. They're dead. Now, they've not lost eternity, but in terms of the here and now, they died. And so what's happening here, he's saying some have taken of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. They've not addressed some things. They've not addressed sin in their life. They've been in man acting in ungodly ways, so on and so forth. This is what he says. For this reason, for the reason that people take it in an unworthy manner, many are weak, sick, and among you, and some are dead. Some fell asleep. So what's happening is Paul's writing to the church at Corinth saying, hey, there's some things going on among you. Man, there's some sexual promiscuity. There's drinking. There's all these sorts of immoral lifestyle that's happening, not to mention there's some ungodly ways in which you're observing the Lord's Supper, and that's why some of you have died. That's why some of you are sick. That's why some of you, I don't mean to try to scare anybody this morning, but friends, I just don't know that we fully understand that we just can't come to God any way we want to, but rather we need the forgiveness and cleansing of the Spirit of God to work in and through our lives. And so, man, we can't just live any old way that we want to and expect God's going to honor that and bless that. Man, there's a standard in which a Christian is called to live. And listen, none of us can keep it apart from the Spirit of God. But the reality is that once we have repented of our sins and placed our faith and trust in Christ, then as I grow closer and closer to the Lord, there's times where I sin against God and I take a step back. Then I need to repent, ask God to forgive me. Then I can begin to pursue the Lord and draw closer and closer to Him. Man, listen, dear friend, God cannot and will not dwell in the presence of sin. Man, I can't go out and live any way I want to through the week and then show up on Sunday, raise my hands and sing loudly and think God's honored by that. I know that's tough. I know it's hard. And I say it to you in Jesus' name because I love you. But friends, this is also where I've been burdened as a church, as part of our church. Thinking, man, I really believe God wants to do some things. God wants to, man, do some incredible things here. But at the same time, I genuinely feel like there's a roadblock, there's a hindrance that's not allowing the Spirit of God to do what He wants to do. And I don't know how you take that. I don't know how you receive that. I don't mean that to be judgmental, but I'm just telling you, friends, that if there's some bitterness, if there's unforgiveness amongst one another, or even maybe folks that have moved on because of things that have happened in the past, or maybe family in your life, whatever the case may be, friends, I'm telling you, God doesn't honor that. We need to repent of those things. The Bible tells us that, man, if you get to the altar and you realize you have something against somebody, leave the altar, go find them and get right, then come back. And the picture was of worship. And so, friends, I'm just trying to encourage you this morning, church family, going, man, if there's some things that are happening, you've got an issue against a brother or a sister here. You've got an issue with something that's happened in the past. You've got some unresolved things going on in your life. Number one, I'm begging you, take an inward look and deal with it. For some of you, it means salvation. Some of you, it means you need to repent and believe on Jesus. But he says that some were taking in an unworthy manner, and then he goes on, what does he tell them? He doesn't say, oh, you're taking an unworthy manner, never take it again. No, he goes on and says, but let a man examine himself. Ask the Spirit of God. I think about it this way, asking the Spirit of God to take His light and to shine in the deep, dark crevices of your heart. And going, God, man, is there... is there a lust? Is there a pornography problem in my life? I've not been willing to admit. I need to confess that. Do I have a substance abuse problem? I've not been willing to confess. I need to repent of that. Man, am I in an immoral, ungodly relationship? Do I need to repent and get rid of that? Man, I've not been willing to forgive somebody. I've been angry and bitter. I need to repent of that. I've wronged somebody. I need to go to them and make it right. I need to ask them, forgive me. I've been talking about somebody, gossiping behind their back. I need to go to them and ask God to forgive me and ask them to forgive me. Friends, before we take the Lord's Supper today, this is where the nitty-gritty work is. There's some things in my heart and in my life. He says, examine himself. It literally means put to test the genuineness of themselves. The idea is this the real McCoy? Is this the real deal? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? There may be some this morning going, man, there's too much right now. I'm not ready to take of the Lord's Supper. But here's the deal, is that I think sometimes we begin to deal with this, and instead of going, let me deal with these things that are going on in my life that I may be in an acceptable place to take of the Lord's Supper, I think sometimes we just push back and go, no, I'm not going to take of the Lord's Supper. No, what Paul's not writing this, wanting everybody to push back from the table and not take of the Lord's Supper. We need to take of the Lord's Supper. It's the way we honor the Lord. It's the way we proclaim the Lord's death. It's part of our worship. It's part of what God wants from us as a church family. And so what do we need to do? Man, we need to step up and ask the Lord to forgive us of these things in our lives and repent. And listen, being angry towards somebody, and most likely they have no idea. It's been described this way, angry and bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die. So man, as your pastor, I'm pleading with you. If nothing else, just lay yourself open spiritually, if you will, and go, God, if there's something in me, will you show me? And it may be that some of you know that, man, this thing or that thing, I'm begging you, won't you ask God to forgive you? Hey, and let me say this. Gossip is a cancer. And I want to encourage you, man, if there's gossip, people gossip in and around you, your silence is acceptance. As Christians, we need to be willing to say, hey, you're not going to come talk to me about that. Because you shouldn't be talking about it anyway. If you've got an issue, you need to go with them. If you need somebody to go with you, I'll go with you. But I'm not going to be a sounding board for you for somebody, some issue that you have. And just let people talk. You're a guilty party. And so whatever the Lord is showing us in this moment, we need to repent and get right. The Bible says this, says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so here's the invitation. Number one, if you don't yet know Jesus, won't you repent and give your heart to Jesus? Believe on Him today. I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer in a moment. But listen, friend, it's the attitude of your heart. If your heart's desire is to ask Jesus to save you and be the boss of your life, then won't you, man, just call out to Him. So the first is for salvation. Secondly, maybe you need to make your profession public. You need to let the world know that, hey, I asked Jesus to save me. In a few moments, you have an opportunity, I'd invite you to come. Say, hey, Pastor, I asked Jesus to save me today, or I asked Jesus to save me another day recently. Man, it's such an important step that we're not ashamed of Jesus. We're bold in where we're at. And it may be that you've been saved and you need to take a step of obedience and follow the Lord in baptism. Man, I invite you to come. Say, hey, preacher, I need to follow the Lord in baptism. I need to get right in that area. Or there may be some of these other things I've talked about. Man, I want to beg you, won't you come get on this altar and ask God to forgive you? If you need to go to somebody, man, go to them. Say, hey, can we just visit just a moment? I need to ask your forgiveness. Whatever the Lord's doing in your heart, we're going to take a few moments and give you a chance to respond that we may be ready to take of the Lord's Supper this morning. So if you would, bow your head and close your eyes. God in heaven, I pray in this moment that God, if there's anybody here that's lost, that needs to be saved, God, I pray you give them grace to repent and place their faith and trust in you. If that's you this morning, you just simply pray. Ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins. Pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be. Pray in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer, if God dealt with your heart this morning about something, and if it's salvation, in just a moment when I pray, if you just prayed that, then come and say, hey, Pastor, I prayed and asked God to save me this morning. Maybe you've prayed recently. Come. Maybe you need to follow in baptism, you come. Or maybe God's dealing with your heart about some sin in your life, something in your life. I want to encourage you, come, kneel at this altar, sit on one of these front pews, ask God to work in and through you. When I pray in just a moment, say amen, you come. God in heaven, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the work you're doing. And Lord, I pray all over this place, God, this morning that we would do business with you. And we wouldn't be quick to move on to what's next. But God, just in this moment, we would do all that we could to make sure we are in right relationship with you. And whatever step of obedience that means, whatever move that means we need to make, you, Spirit of God, have liberty to work here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You remain in the attitude of prayer. If God's dealing with your heart this morning, you come. God in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, thank you for the mercy that we have in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for the cross and for salvation. Lord, I pray as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper that, God, we would be in a right place and a right relationship with you. And God, it would be well-pleasing in your sight, a sweet aroma to you. Lord, we love you and we praise you and thank you for all that you are and all that you do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we get ready to take of the Lord's Supper, I want to just share a couple quick things with you. We're going to take of the Lord's Supper, then we're going to sing a final song, and then take of the offering. But we do have these in all in one, and so what you might want to do here in just a moment is go ahead. The top is a little tricky. There's a really thin layer on top, a really thin clear piece that you take off first to get to the bread, and then you peel off the thicker one to get to the cup, okay? So kind of expert level communion cup right here today, okay? So, but as you're doing that, the Lord's Supper is number one for those that are Christians. Number two, that are walking in obedience with the Lord. We do believe that ought to be those that have baptized, believe they have an opportunity to take that step in baptism. And then you need to be a member of a church of like faith and order. It doesn't mean you have to be a member of this church to take of the Lord's Supper, but you do need to be a member of a local church somewhere. And so that is who the Lord's Supper is for. And so this morning we are going to, hopefully you have been able to peel off that first part, excuse me, and here in just a moment, I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing on both the bread and the cup. We will take of the bread first and then the cup, and I'll read a verse in between here for you this morning. And so let me pray and ask God's blessing on both, and then we will take of the Lord's Supper. Jesus, thank you for these elements. Thank you for this opportunity to honor you in this act of worship. And so, God, I pray that God, your hand of blessing will be upon both the cup as we recognize as a symbolic sacrifice of your body and the blood as a symbolic sacrifice of your blood. And so we pray your blessing on both and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the Bible says this, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus would then go on to say, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Well, amen. I know it is a solemn time, yet at the same time, it is one of celebration. And so we wanted to follow up our Lord's Supper this morning by continuing this act of worship. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another psalm, and then I'll make a few comments, and we'll pray for our dismissal as we have an opportunity to give as we lead. So let's stand together, Brother Al Ray, and the team are going to come and lead us.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all peace. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all peace. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Nations with truth and justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. The Lamb who was slain, worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done.
Amen. In just a moment, I want to pray, but I did want to mention to you as our guys are getting ready to take opportunity to give to the Lord through the offering. And every week in our bulletin, we post our just sort of giving numbers, and many of you just so faithful to give, and so thank you so much. And just want you to know that information is there so that you can have an idea of kind of where we're at and how we're tracking with that through the year. And obviously, I mentioned to you, we are taking up the Dixie Jackson offering this month. And so I know it's a time where there's a lot of different things, and it's that end of the year. And so I just want to encourage you in a couple ways. Number one, encourage you that your Dixie Jackson is that those opportunities are above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. But then I just want to encourage you in your regular tithes and offerings and just obedience in that. We are off pace a little bit. We are behind a little bit in terms of year-to-date type things. And I know many of you, man, you give sacrificially, and I'm so grateful for that. But this might be a word of encouragement. I know COVID disrupted a lot of things and all that sort of stuff. I just want to encourage you to be faithful in your giving, how the Lord leads you, and give back to Him as He's first given us. And then finally, I wanted to mention to you, there's an option to give online if you would like to do that. You can set it up and that it comes out as often as you get paid through your work, however that may be. The e-check, if you get on there, the e-check option is the best option. It's the least in terms of fees, that sort of thing. And so just want to mention those things to you and encourage you. Would you just be praying that God will raise up and that we'll be faithful to give and the Lord will meet all the needs. There's a lot of great ministry and things that are happening, and it is dependent on our faithfulness to give. And so appreciate so many of you that you're just faithful, and really grateful for that. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our offerings, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, you're gracious and kind. Thank you for today. And I pray, God, that we would give in a way that is well-pleasing to you, in a way that honors you. And Lord, I pray you bless those that are so faithful to give. And God, bless those maybe in a position they can't, whatever's going on in their life, then God, pray your hand to bless them, be upon them. And Lord, I pray that we would honor you as we go about our week this week. Help us to be a witness for you. We love you and praise you. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing.